God in impossible situations. Let us pray. Psalm writer says, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me right now, my Savior. I come to thee. Almighty God, we thank you for being here with us this morning. We thank you for the songs. We thank you for the prayer. We thank you for the reading of the holy and righteous word. But now comes the preaching moment. So Lord, not only search me, try me, deal with anything destructive that's in my presence, and because there's something destructive in all of us, remove everything you can right now. But remove that which might be destructive to the preaching of your holy word. Give me clarity of sight, mind, and speech. You know, Lord, it's been a long, hard week. So I'm going to call on you one more time to give me strength. Strength to preach this word with power. And because you've done it before, I'm going to give you praise in advance. Because I know you'll do it one more time. This prayer I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God in impossible situations. You know, if all of us were honest this morning, if we took off our halos and our wings. But there's something about Christians coming together. And it's something I saw too many times when pharmacists were asked the question, how you doing? How are things going on? But with all the problems that we face, things that had me not only pulling my hair out, but had it turning gray for a moment, for Christians, for pharmacists. Those impossible situations seem to go away. And the answer is, I'm doing fine. When if we are honest with ourselves and each other, if we take off our masks and pull back the curtains, most of us are not dealing with one. Many of us are dealing with a handful of situations that seem impossible to handle. And you know, the physical separation of COVID-19 has made things worse. For those distractions are gone. We no longer have our escape mechanisms. I know nobody here goes to the club, but going to the club, spending money that we don't have at the mall. You know, even our idols, the NBA, March Madness, Major League Baseball, all of those concert venues, and for some, even their jobs, they've all been taken away. Impossible situations became even more impossible. And these are times that you not only need God in your life, these are times we need to do something that Christians fail to do. We need to take care of our mental health. For some, that impossible financial situation has gotten worse. For most of us, we never talk about money. That was on purpose. For somebody else, an impossible situation is your health situation. In a country that claims to have the best health system in the world, that's a statement many of us could question. For there's little health equity when it comes to us. Somebody's in an impossible situation when it comes to a relationship. And you know, a relationship, that's what all life is about. Oh, but relationships that mean the most to your life now seem impossible. And what makes things worse is sometimes there appears to be no solution and things will never get better. And I have to wonder if many of you have experienced some of the things that I have. When it looked like a change is going to come, and that things were going to get better, and the rules of the game got changed. Or somebody knows what I'm talking about. And even though it might not be a change when it comes to your specific problem, but it was a change that rocked all of our lives and gets more things out of order. And what gets to me though is, how as a people we remain quiet? How as a people we felt helpless? Why? Because in too many places we held on to a theology that was used to keep us enslaved. A theology that was in direct opposition to the one that we say we follow. For Jesus called out wrong for what it was wrong, no matter how much they dressed it up. See, for many of the impossible situations this morning we face are systemic. And even if your situation this morning is manageable, think about those right here in this nation who are less fortunate than we are. There are many facing eviction this morning if they have not already been put out in the street. There are many in jail this morning who've been wrongly incarcerated. Don't mention those who have been arrested, tried, and convicted, and executed without a jury. Or if you listen to the names being read at the rally last week of unarmed people who have been killed by law enforcement, if you read the story of those who go before us in the cross and the lynching tree, men, women, boys, and girls who were strung up as an example for crazy preachers like me, not only strung up but mutilated, castrated, slowly burned to inflict most pain. And don't think for a moment that that spirit is not still alive this morning. Coming down the road this morning. So a little bit flag, a Confederate flag, it had Trump 2020, make America great again. See, that spirit is still alive. It just operates differently. It operates in the law. It operates in economic policy. Even how our children find education. And like I said, we got to be honest. It's a theological one. A theology that says suffer. A theology that says endure. But I've never seen an impossible situation change by saying or believing things will get better when I get the glory. Of course they will be for you and me when we get the glory. But did you ever think about your children and their children's children? For I believe Jesus did not come to have us be enslaved forever to situations that were not of Almighty God. In fact, God has been in the business of turning the impossible into the possible for a long time. Just think about that for a moment. All the possibilities that God has brought into your life. All the possibilities that God has brought into my life. Even though I said it last Sunday and I said it again, with all I've done, there are others who based totally on the color of their skin that have had more opportunities than me. And many times a person that looked like me was part of the problem in being a co-conspirator to keep me from being where I should be. That's a sermon for another Sunday morning. I can remember the days though when I got mad. But as I read the stories in the Word of God, a shepherd boy killing a giant, impossible. God making a highway on dry ground in the Red Sea, impossible. The walls of Jericho just come tumbling down. Impossible. Oh, there's some invisible walls today that God is going to call to come tumbling down that people say impossible. But I'm telling you right now, they're going to happen. And then the story told in our text, an old couple, a very old couple, conceiving a child long after God made the promise. That's something we need to consider a lot of times. God does not act always suddenly. Many times, we have to wait. Sometimes many of us are not good with waiting on God. We return this morning to a story from the series I preach called Family Affair. The story of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Abel, who didn't know God. But when God told Abram to get up and go, Abram got up and went. How many call themselves Christians refuse to do just little things God asked you to do? God told Abram that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. Yet after many years, after numerous occasions when Abram could have died, there were no children. In an effort to help God, Abram and Sarah came up with a plan. Abram and Sarah co-conspired in the abuse of a young girl. See, I know you've never heard the story told that way. However, just look at the culture and the fact that she was a slave and the fact that God didn't ask him to help him. So after waiting so long, one day the angels of God just show up. And I believe that God still shows up in our lives today in various ways. That's why we need to welcome God when God shows up. Amen. Like preach on the Levi. Do I have a witness this morning that God will show up? Show up sometimes when you're looking for God. Show up sometimes unexpectedly. It's just when God shows up, no matter how impossible our problems might seem, we need to welcome God. And that's exactly what Abraham did. His name has been changed. Look up, he saw the men. He did not wait. He did not hesitate. Abraham ran from his tent interest. Not only did he greet them, but he bowed real deeply. See, doesn't sound like the reception many of us get sometimes, but people will know you're coming up. They look out the window, even though when they saw you drove up, they act like you're not even there. Take the time coming to the door. I'm not saying that any of us are God. But if we're not busybodies, if we're not one bringing a button to carry a bone, since we're all made in the image of God, we need to get up and greet one another, because we never know when God or one of God's angels is going to show up at our door, and bless us over and over again. Oh. Not only did Abraham bring a little water so they could wash their feet. That, you know, that's something we read about in the Bible all the time. There's something Jesus talks about. In fact, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. See, but in biblical time, they ain't had socks. You know, they just had no sandals. And they had no paved road. So if you walk down the road, dirt got all on their feet. So people washed their feet because they got dirt. Abraham even gave a little water to refresh himself. Because when you heard the scripture read, it said he came out of the heat and went into the heat. See, so they need some water so they can hydrate up. Abraham must have sent something. But after offering the men bread and after telling them they could leave because he was blessed to have been in his presence, Abraham started doing a lot of things contrary to the men leaving very quickly. He tells Sarah to make some baked goods. He took a young half healthy calf and gave it to one of his servants to prepare. He prepared some prime filet mignon, some prime New York strip steak. Abraham took some butter, took some milk. Oh, that's not food for any ordinary occasion. Took that along with the calf that had been found and put the food in front of him. See, Abraham had his best prepared for them, but instead of sitting down with them after he put the food in front of them, Abraham stood under the tree near them as they ate. Abraham knew that these were men of God. That's why early in the text he called himself servant. But he did what we all should do.
He gave God his best. Gave God his best even after God has shown up. See, some parables say will give you best because you want to get something, but he had already, you know, he had had God show up in his presence, but he still gave God his best because he knew it belonged to God and God was in his presence.
See, no matter how impossible our situation might seem, we need to give our best to God. Abraham could have been like some of us. God shows up. But instead of giving out God our best, Abraham could have said, God, what happened to that son? You promised me a long time ago and just turned and walked away. But because he gave God his best, Abraham was allowed to have a conversation with the divine. Oh, that's shouting material. And if there's anything you need when your back is against the wall, you need a conversation with an all-powerful and all-powerful God. For God has something for you. God has a promise. And when it comes to that promise, never doubt God's promise. Notice the men didn't say God had a promise for him. The men asked Abraham a question. And have you ever noticed in the Bible, have you ever noticed when God speaks to you in your life that God loves to ask questions? Ask questions. He knows God knows what's going on and God knows what God is going to do. The question this time is, where is your wife, sir? But so many times when we are dealing with impossibilities, that impossibility involves more than you. See, you're going to need at least one person to help you put God's plan to work. And that's the problem. Too many times in the church, people just want to sit back. Or listen to Ralph Douglas just this morning. And he said, you know, we use that thing. We saved by grace because we ladies didn't want to get over, you know. You just can't sit back. You need to do some work. Some want titles just to say they have a title. And then the walk and the work falls on two pews. See, building God's kingdom takes all of us. Amen, life, preach on, Pastor. Abraham answers. She's right here in the tent. Check out the promise. The promise that was first made in chapter 12 when God tells Abram, I'll make you a great nation. Look at the context of that time. Making a nation back then and now takes babies. But in that context, it meant male babies. The promise again in chapter 15. After a lot of things, good and bad, Abram is 99 years old. When God makes the promise again, it's just that God had to change his name. God had to change his wife's name. See there, not only does God know your name, sometimes God has to change his name to do what God wants to do. So that when God shows up in chapter 18, we don't know how many years have transpired since chapter 12. But I can tell you this, from all that goes on, you know, y'all want to read them six chapters when you get home. It was a long time. One of the men said, I will definitely return to you about this time next year, and then your wife will have a son. And I always say it's important to hear the word of God read. Because my sermon today was dealing with God in impossible situations. But in reading silently, I missed this. And the man said, is there anything that is impossible for God? Okay, I should really rework that thing, you know, because nothing is impossible for God, even in impossible situations. And I'm not going to try to act like I've got it all right. Just like many of you, I wish God would pay me a visit and tell me I'll be back this time next year and all your situations gonna be turned.
good. But Sarah, let's be honest. Let's not be so hard on Sarah. Been married a lot of years. Nothing happened. Seen another woman give birth to a son powered by her husband. We can get so discouraged that we would do just like Sarah. Since they were both old, since she was no longer producing eggs, the excitement of the young woman couldn't help anymore. So Sarah laughed to herself thinking, I'm no longer able to have children and my husband is old. Even though God said, just remember, God knows our every thought. God knows our every action. When the Lord said to Abraham, why did she laugh? Sarah lied and said, I didn't laugh because she was right. And because God knows all, because God sees all, God told Sarah, no, you have laughed even though I was fulfilling a promise I made to you a long time ago. All right, let's cut across the field to chapter 21 so that we might embrace the possibility. When God says the impossible is going to happen or become possible, no matter when it comes, no matter how it comes, no matter if you never expect it to come, embrace the possibility that comes out of the impossibility. Come with the New Hope Fellowship. In 2010, we worship in a conference room in a hotel. In 2013, when this property showed up, the bank that we were dealing with said no. Or many of us were even comfortable with having to set up that room every week and sometimes even being denied access to that room. But in 2013, God turned around the impossible into the possible. Remember, God is always going to hold up God's side of the problem. For the Lord was attentive to Sarah, just as the Lord said. And the Lord turned up just what the Lord had promised. Oh, no matter how much the world chews you up, no matter how many times the world spits you out, the Lord is attentive and the Lord turns up what the Lord has promised. God did God's thing, and when God does, just like Abraham, we need to do what our God wants us to do. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, just like God commanded. How many times does God give us a gift and we don't do what God commands us to do? What are we doing about taking care of God's gift? See, too many times, if there's only one, we refuse to do what God has commanded us to do. Too many refuse to take care of what God has blessed us with. I know the deacons don't get mad with me now. I know the deacons and trustees sometimes get mad when I send out them emails and texts. This needs to be taken care of. That needs to be fixed. But we need to give our best to God. We need to take care of what God has blessed us with. See, as long as I'm the pastor here, I want this place to look as beautiful as it was the first time I saw it in 1997 when construction was completed. And the thing about it, I wasn't even a pastor here. It never occurred to me that one day I would be preaching in this place. But since God has blessed us with this place, not only this place, but everything God places in our lives, especially when things seem to be impossible, take care of it. Take care of your finances. Take care of your health. Take care of your relationship. And maybe you can be like Sarah who said, God has given me that. See, the last time I had to laugh because I had given up. But today I can laugh because the Lord has given me laughter. And everybody who hears about it will laugh you something. I want to laugh when God brings some joy into your life. I want to laugh when God gives you peace. I want all of us to be able to laugh. Sir, I laugh because in what seemed like an impossibility, in her old age, she gave birth to a son. And that reminds me of another son who found himself in an impossible situation. I'm talking about the Son of God who stepped down from glory. The Son of God who put on human flesh. And because he spoke up for the poor, those in the margin spoke out against the religious establishment and an oppressive government. They executed him on an all-wicked cross. The Son of God was in an impossible situation because no one who had been crucified by Rome had ever gotten up. But like in so many other situations, God turned the impossible into the possible by getting Jesus up out of the grave with all power and giving us victory over sin and death. So no matter what you're going through this morning, remember that you serve a God who does all things well. A God who can turn your life around. And no matter how impossible it seems, but you will come back from your setbacks. Welcome God when God shows up. Never doubt God's promises. And when God does what God has promised, embrace what has been an impossibility, but what has had become a possibility, that because of the work, the blessing of Almighty and the promise of Almighty God. Amen. 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 God in impossible situations. Don't ever give up. What that hymn say? True forever on the scaffold. Wrong forever over the throne. But there standing God within the shadows, keeping watch over all his own. And I commend to someone this morning that saying God